former NHLer Brian Sutherby. Welcome to the program. It's your lucky day. You don't have to deal with Gregor.
And that is a good day, as always.
Hey, can you believe this? I was talking to Brent Sutter earlier today. Alberta has not hosted a Memorial Cup since 1974, yet it's been to the United States three times since then.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. No, I wouldn't have known that. That's surprising, considering just considering how big hockey is in Alberta. And wow, that's shocking.
Yeah, and you know he's owned the Red Deer Rebels since 2000. He's been on the Memorial Cup twice. This will be the third time they're going for the 2016 Cup. And I don't know. You've played in the league, and you played in a lot of small, packed buildings that were probably a lot of real fun to play in, as opposed to some of the bigger half filled buildings like Sask Place in Saskatoon. It was always way more fun as a visitor to probably go and play in a small packed building as opposed to Saskatoon, where there was 5,000 people in a 15,000 seat arena, right?
Oh, big time. As a player, you're always feeding off the energy of the rink. That's surprising. I hope they get it. I mean, anyone that's been to Red Deer and seen the facilities they have there, I wouldn't even call it a small rink. I mean, obviously it's small, I guess, in terms of comparing it to Saskatoon or maybe what Vancouver or Edmonton and those teams have these days. But it's a good-sized junior rink. I think it probably holds 6,000 or 7,000 when you get some standing room in there. And it's probably the perfect junior rink for exactly what you just said. You don't have those empty seats and those sort of quiet areas. If you have a full building like that, it always feels like the fans are right on top of you. And as a player, you really do feed off it. You feed off the energy when there's a big hit or, the oohs and ahs when there's a missed opportunity or a big save, even if you're, just lugging the puck up the ice when it's a big game and the fans are into it, you feel it. And that intensity resonates throughout the whole building. And, going back to junior with playing against teams exactly like you just said, the Saskatoon Blades, or I'm trying to think who else was in the league that had really big rinks back then, the Hitmen. It just takes away from it all. And I'd way rather play in the Swift Currents or in Moose Jaw back in the day in the Crush Can, where the fans are right on top of you, and it's only 2,000 people, but they're going nuts, and it feels like there's 20,000 there.
Yeah, the newly renovated Centrium, they can put in, just with seating alone, over 7,000 people in there now.
Yeah.
And it's loud. It's a good atmosphere. I covered that team in 2001 when they won the Memorial Cup, and the series against Calgary was excellent. It was loud. It was passionate. And I can only imagine what a Memorial Cup drawing from both Calgary and Edmonton for fans would be like. I'm not saying a Memorial Cup in Vancouver wouldn't be good, but they just had one in 2007. And you can imagine how much it would get lost in the shuffle in Vancouver as compared to Red Deer.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, it absolutely seems like the perfect spot to draw fans. And I think Sutter's been a great addition to the Western Hockey League as well. I mean, for a long time, he's had that organization producing winners or competitive teams since he got there. Going back to when I was in the league, they were always one of the best teams in the league. And like I said, it's a very professional rink. It's a great city and can draw from a lot of places. I'm shocked that it's even been this long that they haven't been accepted, and hopefully they do get the bid.
Who's your head coach when you were in Moose Jaw?
I had Len Nielsen my first 3 years, and then they relieved Lenny. It was really strange, actually, with like 4 games left in the regular season of my 18-year-old year. Right, and we were a playoff team. We made the playoffs. We got bounced early. We got swept 4 straight by Kootenay, but just a weird situation. And then Curtis Hunt came. If anyone doesn't know Curtis Hunt, I think he's actually maybe coaching back in the Western League now. I know he ended up coaching Regina for a while, and he did end up in Ottawa, I think, as an assistant coach for a few years. So I had Huntsy and Lenny Nielsen when I was there.
Like, what does the whole how does the whole room react when 4 games before the playoffs they fire your coach?
Yeah, it was strange, and I wish I could didn't get hit in the head too many times. Then it could jog my memory as to what exactly went down. But I know for me, I was a leader on that team and a big part of that dressing room. And I always had a great relationship with Lenny. So I wish I could go back on that time and really remember what happened or why. But maybe we were going through a big slump. I really don't know. I know we were probably underachieving given some of the lineup and roster that we had. And like I said, we got bounced real quick by Kootenay. They went on to win the Memorial Cup that year, I think. But in saying that, obviously the GM and whatnot wasn't very happy with the way things were going and felt like maybe that was a little kick in the butt right before playoffs. Unfortunately, it didn't seem to change much, however.
Brian Sutherby joining us, former NHLer. Where I was going with that is, could you ever have imagined a time while you were playing in Moose Jaw that they would have been able to convince a guy to leave the NHL to come and coach there?
No. No. I mean, yeah, exactly that. I can't. And it's a great little junior city, but no, I could never envision that.
And Tim Hunter is now coaching there, and it tells you, yeah. I guess it tells you a little bit about the growth of the league, but it tells you what a new arena can do for you, because I don't think Tim Hunter's going to coach there in the crush can.
No, probably not. I mean, back then you would have seen it. It's a ton of character, but just not, getting back to sort of the Red Deer facilities and things like that. I mean, it was, I grew to love playing there. I didn't know really anything else, and it was a fun place to play because the fans were always on you, but it was freezing cold, and it really wasn't up to the standards of most junior rinks, and it's great for the city that they got the new rink. I have been there. It does feel like it's not quite the same because it is a little bit bigger. They don't quite sell it out every night, so it doesn't have that same atmosphere and feel, but from a professional standpoint, the rink seems like it's top drawer. It's a NHL caliber miniature rink that obviously the city's doing well, the city's growing, and to be able to put a facility like that in there can only attract guys like Tim Hunter and more professional or higher up coaches that are willing to come there.
I remember the first time I went into the crush can as a media guy and we took our camera up to the top to shoot the game. And I couldn't see across the other side of the rink to the press box.
You could only see two rows.
That's right. And I'm like, what is going on here? And then I went to do color, and I couldn't see the scoreboard, part of the scoreboard. So I couldn't even tell the time clock. And I'm like this is the weirdest rink I've ever been in. But there was something cool and fun about it.
Well, the fans were right on top of you. It just felt like there was always, the roof was steel and it hung low, and it didn't matter if there was 1,000 people in there or we were playing Regina and there was 3,000 crammed in there with all the way up the stairs to the walls. It just was loud. And a building that I sort of compare it to in the NHL is San Jose. For whatever reason, the structure of that building, whether it's the ceiling's a little lower, there's a lot of metal and maybe the sound's bouncing off it, but it always feels like the atmosphere in there is loud and it creates this energy that makes it feel more fast paced. And, like I said, it wasn't a very good junior rink from the standards that most people would think, and road teams hated coming in there. We probably won 5 or 10 games a year just because players didn't want to show up, but for all the stories and character it had, it was pretty cool.
26 years ago tomorrow is the day that Wayne Gretzky was sold/traded to the LA Kings. Do you remember where you were?
I don't remember where I was, no. I was still pretty young then. What was that? I think it would have been 7. But, I do remember it, being a big Oiler fan as a kid, and it was a little over my head at that time. I didn't understand why it was happening, but pretty crazy, 26 years ago, and just to see what it did for the game, going down there, it still sucks. It would have been really nice to just see what the Oilers could have done if there was a way to keep him and keep that together for 5, 6, 7 more years. It was already special what they did, but it could have been incredible.
Yeah, it was too bad. I was supposed to go out and deliver papers, and I just sat in my parents' bedroom crying over what they had just did. And by that time, like, I was an Andy Moog fan growing up, so by that time I had already left my allegiances of the Oilers kind of behind a little bit because I was a Boston fan, but I still was devastated and couldn't believe that they traded him out of Canada.
Yeah, for me, I was always a Messier fan. He was my guy. But again, I was so young then, and obviously I was a Wayne Gretzky guy and an Oiler guy turned through. So it was devastating, but I don't think at that age, even for me, that I didn't really comprehend it. If something like that happened today, it would just be crazy for me to not understand. And I guess in today's world, this sort of stuff, this player movement happens a lot more frequently. But with a guy like Wayne Gretzky, of his stature and what he did, still pretty shocking to look back. And it's always cool to see the documentaries and when TSN or whoever does their big stories covering the way it went down. It's pretty cool to watch and go back in time.
Yeah, that set the standard and that broke the mold because once that guy got traded, then everybody knew that everybody knew that anybody was tradable, right? There was nobody that was untradable after Wayne Gretzky got dealt.
Yeah, exactly. And you see it nowadays that it doesn't even shock people at all, the player movement. It's far more rare if a guy stays even 10 years with the same team, so, which is too bad. I wish there was more guys that started and finished their careers with one team, but there's so much money in the game now and different variables that you just don't see it anymore.
For sure. Suds, thanks very much for joining me today. I hope you had a blast and hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, Dean. You too.